Welcome to this podcast called Fermented and Demented. This podcast is made by the guys in Bluehemn and Nifrost, and these first episodes will tell the history of our bands before we test fermented beverages and talk about stuff.
Okay. Just one beer. Just one beer.
Okay, so we're here again to talk about our different bands, Nifrost and Bluehemn. Please introduce yourselves.
Invisus of Bluehemn.
Henrik of Nifrost.
Auk of Bluehemn.
Onlan of Bluehemn.
Jörg Ståhle of Nifrost.
And Chetil from Nifrost.
So after the release of Motvind, your next full length was Blykrone.
Yeah.
Tell a bit about the concept, and it also has a distinctive cover art. What's behind the concept and the cover?
The concept of Blykrone, I'm not sure how early we talked about it, but the title Blykrone was there, I think, very early on. And the idea was that this crown of lead, Blykrone, was this kind of symbol of a burden or something weighing you down, like maybe it could be like mental challenge or
it could be a lot.
It's a lot of things.
The concept sort of is something heavy and something that is also very toxic.
Yes.
I didn't catch that nuance, but lead
is very toxic.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So that's sort of the combination, and also it's a crown.
Yeah.
It's for something that's noble. However, it's lethal and it's a burden.
And who wrote it? Who wrote the lyrics and the?
I think we all wrote some of it.
Okay.
That was the first album. The second album. the album where we sort of, well, Eivind or Jolm did the music for that mostly. Early on, of course, he had a lot of ideas and he just pumped it out like a machine. It sort of ended up being a contribution sort of record. So Jörn wrote some lyrics, Eivind wrote some. I wrote one, I believe. And
I think this album has more, also with the music, there's more collaboration between us.
Yeah.
Yeah, both in lyrical and musical aspect, you all chipped in more.
Well, in the arrangement-wise sort of thing. How to put together the riffs, how to form it sort of way. And every song is sort of a one different mental illness after another.
Was that kind of the concept, or was that kind of how it?
Not really, but that's how I like to see it. Like Kongestol is sort of a schizoid kind of song for me.
But also before in Motvind, there was also themes about having burdens and struggling.
Yeah.
And all this. I think that
the album directly translates to headwind. So you do the math.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But on Blykrone, I think that was more of that. It is quite a bit darker in many ways than Motvind.
Darker, sharper, more the aggressive undertones, not so much folky, more desperation, sort of the wish to get out in a way, sort of brawl your way out.
Yeah, the claustrophobic
sonically. Yeah, in many ways. That's how I see it, at least.
Because Motvind is more like traditional Norwegian music and...
Well, yeah, it has its
nature
moments.
Yeah.
It has its moments where, you know, I just want to get out of here, in a way.
Yeah, there's songs about suicide and, yeah, dark themes.
And also the song Gamling wasn't...
Hva kalte du meg?
Jævla Gamling. It wasn't supposed to be on that record when it was planned. It was two other songs that did not... I mean, one of them we even recorded drums for and then we dropped it.
I can't remember that. Which one was that?
You dropped a beat, it's called.
Ulv. You don't remember that?
You dropped a single?
Ulv?
Ulv was supposed to be on that record, and then after talking to some people and after thinking about the record as a whole thing, we thought that one of the tracks did not actually fit the other songs on the record. So we dropped one of them after recording drums. And there was one other song that was replaced by Gamling, which was supposed to be on the record. So we did a couple of changes, like really late on.
late at night?
Not late at night, but...
I think it was for the better.
Yeah, I do as well.
Mind. I'm quite proud of the album.
It's a very good album.
And you also, Simon, Invisus, you also have guest vocals.
Yeah, on the track Slotten. Yeah, it's a really great track.
A lot of people said that, wow, Slotten, it's amazing.
It's sexy.
Yeah, and I think it's just because of you, Invisus.
I agree.
Anyways, as of all the publishments, we have accomplishments as well. I'm proud of it, and it's the direction that we felt as a band to go. So I sort of think that a lot of our fans have grown onto the fact that we're sort of a Viking metal thing, but no, I'm sorry.
#sorry
We still try to sort of find where we are at, in a way. Yeah,
it was the natural progression from Motvind.
Yeah,
we were already sick of Motvind way before we released it.
Yeah,
and we're making the new songs quite early on.
Yeah, from an outstander point, it kind of seems like a natural progression. It's not the same, but it's something else. But it's still kind of it's the same band, you know. They have progressed, but same band.
Yeah.
For this release, you went on to Dusktone, isn't that right?
Yeah.
A new record label.
Yeah,
and finally got your releases on vinyl.
Yeah, finally.
Important to me.
That's a pinnacle for us as well.
Yeah.
For the first time.
Yeah.
That was also that was cool. Quite important for us when we decided to go with Dusktone. We really wanted to release a vinyl. And then, I remember it was quite a process to get the new label and all, but
Anyways,
how is your sex life?
stick to the album. To also put more contrast, the album cover is more minimalistic. It's sort of minimalistic. It's if you zoom in, you will see just points of dots.
In the crown.
Yeah,
hundreds.
I really, what?
Hundreds of dots.
Thousands, yeah. I guess. Maybe
that's Jörn Ståhle's sister who did that.
My sister made the front cover, and me and Henrik actually did quite a lot of work
on the layout and stuff.
Yeah, layout and titles.
All of the titles and everything is carved using linography.
It was a lot of work.
Yeah.
So we had to carve we first went digitally and found out, okay, this is how we want it. And then we printed it backwards,
reverse.
Inverted.
And then we like got the design on lino, what do you call it? Linoleum? Lino prints. And then we carved it out. We
printed it on paper.
Yeah, printed it on paper and then scanned it into a computer again. So it's it was a lot of work. But we learned a lot while doing it as well. And it's really fun to have those prints.
Looks good.
Yeah, and we can print it again if we want. It's like a souvenir of our work.
I think
work.
You should carve out
a giant,
a picture of your cock and print it.
That would be a fast thing to do.
A quite small print.
Yeah. A little dot. A little print.
Print. Just another dot.
Anyways, sort of.
Was funny was that I was on Discogs or something.
Discogs. Yeah, it's not like the exaggeration or ignition thing. You pronounce it differently. Discogs.
I don't know why. I think I was maybe looking for somebody who mixed something or something. And then I thought, okay, I'll search for Nifrost. And then
admit it, you Googled yourself. Come on.
No, I didn't. I did eventually, but I did not Google. I discogsed it.
Your imprinted dick
name,
pic.
Your name with your balls.
And I searched for Nifrost and I found Blykrone. I was just checking if we were there as well. And then I found my name and it said that I had done artwork. And I was like, okay, so somebody has actually written down that I have been designing this album. And it felt so unreal. Like me,
congrats.
I can't fucking draw anything. And then
you drew a gun.
That I'm a designer.
But there are some weird people out there that kind of sits and writes down those things.
Yeah.
On metal archives.
Yeah, it's weird.
They're almost at the brink of autism when it comes to that. It's
yeah, but it's...
Really,
but
it's mental.
Yeah, but it's cool too. You know, it's...
I really like it.
you get the information in a data bank and...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
really
out there.
Cool.
So, yeah. But it's often...
It's far out.
Wrong,
it's far
or,
out there.
Yeah, far out.
Well, yeah, that sort of sums up everything there.
I have one question on my notes here about Blykrone. Because I remember, maybe a year ago or something, there were some teasers. I don't remember if this was on your official Facebook or if it was just on Snapchat or the unofficial stuff that we do. Was a music video with a drone and stuff.
That
guess what?
I mean, that was, we posted something on Instagram.
Yeah.
Can I make a parody of you with Blue Corona?
It's something you have on your head and it's toxic.
to say it this way, we was going to make a music video. Hello, were.
Yeah,
were. We still might, but not on. We were actually planning on making a music video of the song Varden.
Mm.
But everything took so long and it was hard, like sitting far away from geographically far away from the guy that was editing the video.
Yeah.
So we said like, we don't like that quite as much. Maybe something more this and this. And then, yeah.
It just didn't sort of work out from also a planning perspective.
Yeah. We didn't plan so, it enough. And
but was that like, did the shots involve you as a band play?
No, not just in nature that way shots? At all.
Mostly nature.
Just body shots.
Eivin.
Or some body shots of Eivin.
Eivin was...
He was losing his coft.
We were trying to sort of implement a... This is going on a clip I don't want to see again. No. Just joking. I don't know. It was a momentum of bad planning, I suppose, and it just ended up not being finished because it costs, you know.
Yeah,
to I mean, I'm friends with the guy who filmed us and everything.
But the shots might still be something.
Yeah, because it's the footage is in the bank. You know, you can.
Yeah,
you can,
I mean, surface later. We have them.
Yeah,
we have them. But thing is,
we have a plan for
that. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yep.
If things work out, we might release.
We'll see.
The video.
Yeah.
But let's move along. I know. I don't know if your fans know, but there's a new album coming.
Yeah,
it's pretty much done, I think.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah. It is done.
Yeah. What can you tell us about that? How is that compared to your your assessor? Is that the reward?
Expect the unexpected. Yeah.
Is that all you can say?
No. we're gonna play country.
Yeah.
No.
On the contrary. No. We're gonna play country.
Anyways, it's I don't know if I'm allowed to say that much, but
come on, give us.
But you have a majority vote in your band.
Anyways, it's a different album again. I mean, you had Motvind. It's more folky, and then you have Blue Krona, which is very heavy. And then you might find a hybrid. Let's put it that way.
Oh. Yeah, I got a taste of
blood.
the song that you were considering for the first single, I think, or yeah, it was a kind of a long song with the more atmospheric. Kind of approach with the long themes, like kind of the Burzum-ish, you know. Not trashy, and it's like more going for the mood than the aggression part.
Yeah,
more moody. That's a good description. Yeah,
actually. I believe I heard like three songs,
two or three. I think it was two.
Yeah,
one slow and one a bit more up tempo.
Yeah,
but if you think about the albums in a way of mood or
is it Moods of Norway?
Oh my god!
Motvind is quite more lively, bright in a way, and Blykrone is quite dark.
Yeah. Gray.
Gray.
Dark gray.
Yeah. Yeah. And a new one.
Charcoal.
It's purple.
No. The new
purple
one
is actually my favorite color, so that's great.
I like purple as well.
Yeah. Kind of a deep purple.
Deep purple.
That's a groovy color.
Yeah. But yeah, the new album is I think it's a good mix. As well as, yeah, as Chetil said it.
Yeah. In terms of theme, we thought that we could find stories from Jølster and around, the places around Jølster, and try to make an album out of like folklore and stuff there, and then. Later on, we found out that we wanted to, the whole concept to be about like Doomsday, but in different states, not just,
Are we touching like a concept album or?
Yeah, more or less.
We actually started to make these songs while we were searching for the label for Blykrone.
Yeah.
And this was, I think we heard a song called Endetidstegn, which is translated roughly to Signs of...
The End Time.
End Time.
The coming end like that. Or something, yeah.
And that, I think that inspired us because we were suddenly...
We listened a lot to that album.
Yeah.
Mayonnaise, is that the band?
Mayonnaise, yeah.
Yeah. Mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise. Of course, these days, Doomsday and COVID and everything, it seems like maybe... it seems like it was planned, but this was over a year ago or more.
2 years ago, maybe.
When we started to make songs with this theme that you talk about, the inner and outer signs of the coming end, in a way.
Yeah, so it's like on maybe one song, the theme is your end, or you close everybody else out from you, and you close yourself in from everybody else, and then you have like this typical Doomsday lyrics with the water is rising.
The biblical themes.
Yeah. So it's even though, I mean, you can probably say that it is a concept album in one way, but it doesn't feel like that when you listen to it.
It's quite a loose concept in a way.
Yeah.
So it's more. It's less of a concept album and more of a thematically coherent album.
Yeah, you can say it like that.
All of the albums are sort of thematically bound, but this one is maybe more.
This one is more deliberately coherent.
But is that something you set out to do, or is it like kind of falls into place as you go along?
I mean, we started out thinking that okay, this album will the themes will evolve around what happened in Jølster, and then it spread out to the world and Doomsday. I mean. It's kind of hard to say exactly, but I guess we thought that this could be something in a bigger or smaller picture that could fit, like the part of dying and the world falling apart in a bigger or smaller sense. Does that make
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Lyrics or music, what came, like, did you start writing lyrics first or early on and then decide on a theme or was the music, how far along with the music were you when the lyrical concept came about?
Do you remember, Jan?
I think
we had written one or two songs, like, roughly when we thought about it.
Yeah, I think it sort of happened at the same time, and usually the music comes first almost in all cases.
Yeah, yeah, we're musicians after all, so that, yeah.
But how is it produced this time? Yeah, I know you did some in some other ways than earlier. Yeah, because I guess the new album is kind of still in... It's unreleased and it's kind of you're giving teasers yet, isn't it?
Well, it got produced. I mean, you mean the process?
Yeah, because now we've been talking.
Because you're not waiting 3 years for the next album. It came out. I mean, we did the drums in May. Did guitars in the summer and vocals in the summer. And bass, and mix in a couple of weeks.
1 week.
Mix and master.
1 week mix.
Yeah, mix and masters.
Yeah, and 1 week master, basically. So the master thing was, since it took so long from our start of recording drums until the release of the two first albums, basically, I asked the people in the band, okay, should we do this now? Should we just, you know, record and have a strict schedule and talk to a guy that can mix it before we actually have the finished product, which was something we tried this time. And it was really, really stressful. we sat many, many hours just working and working and working to actually hit the deadlines.
I spent my whole summer vacation doing guitars.
Jan used his whole summer vacation. Yeah.
I was about to say, well, that doesn't sound too bad, actually.
But yeah, I should also practice more because we
yeah.
We recorded drums during 2 days, which was too little time. So I had my knees were aching like 1.5 weeks because it was 10 to 12 to 14 maybe hours of drumming intensely for a couple of days. And yeah. So next time we are going to have one more day for drum recordings.
No. Everyone knows that you do your best work on the drums after the 11th hour.
So yeah, nah, no fucking way. I was totally exhausted after that recording session, and then
dusk.
I think we maybe waited 2 weeks. We checked everything was okay. And then we started recording guitars pretty fast after that. And then it was bass and vocals in the end. And yeah, it was a really... it was the 8th of May we started recording drums. And we were mixing in August. Do you remember the date, Jan?
End of August.
Yeah, we were done in early September, I think.
Yeah, with mastering and everything?
Not mastering, it was in the middle of September, but yeah. We started mixing in the end of August, the very end.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so it's an album that's sitting, and it's ready to release, and it's kind of in the record label's hands now.
Ready to splurge out in your ears and face. Yeah.
But okay, I got one more question left on my slate here. Kind of the fan question.
The one fan.
Of all the gigs you have done, What's the live show that made the most impression?
I think for me, maybe Holkerock, July 2019. It was like 35 degrees outside. We were playing at 8 o'clock in the evening, and if you stood in the sun, you were sweating, and we it was so fucking hot. So we were lucky, since the sea was like 50 meters from where we played, so we had to take a bath before we were playing and right afterwards. I think it's the only show we've done in shorts.
Did you play Battery?
Oh, fucking hell. Shit, that was actually too good.
Ouch!
So you actually played in shorts?
Yeah, we played in shorts.
Shorts, yeah. And t-shirts. Yeah. Usually we have long-sleeved shirts.
Yeah.
This time we couldn't because it was too hot.
I suppose people were really, really surprised when you started playing black metal and not, you know, Tampa Bay Black and Death.
Hmm?
Yeah.
At det var.
Jeg kalte det meg.
Yeah, it was a great time in Holmedal playing at Holkerock.
Yeah. It was also great playing the Carmageddon Black Knights now in when was it? September?
Yeah. End of September.
End of September, yeah. That was really great. Because, yeah, that's the only live show in front. I mean, we had the stream in March, but it's the only live show we actually played now in 2020.
We had scheduled like 3 other gigs.
Yeah, but we cancelled.
I ended up watching one of the gigs we were supposed to play together on online, so that was fun. Yeah.
Mm. We would have caught the lag.
No, we wouldn't.
We always speed up. We would have caught a lag.
But Jørn, your favorite?
I think the most, you know, the biggest concert we played yet was at Inferno. Yeah, that was big for us, being 18 years old and stuff.
17.
We were 18 by then, I think.
I couldn't buy beer, I think. Yeah, I could drive. Okay, I was 18. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was a big one for me.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think the coolest... I mean, for my sake, in terms of impression, I mean, both Inferno and Holmedal was really great. And the wedding was also really cool.
The wedding.
Yeah, the wedding was awesome.
I think the mini tour with Mistur in Sandnes and Bergen was really cool to be a part of for my sake. And again, that's because we were a part of a tour, sort of mini thing. We gigged one night, got wasted, and then to the next gig, popped a beer, went to soundcheck, and drank another beer, and then played, and drank plenty afterwards. I think that's because of the vibe. Both in Bergen and Sandnes, for me, it was very pleasant.
The Mistur gigs were really fun. Great guys to hang out with as well. The Mistur band. So, yeah.
Yes. It's coming to a close.
I think so.
Yes. Coming to a close.
It's coming close to a close, isn't it?
Close to my rectum.
Close to a close.
Let's end it there.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, just one bear. Just one bear.